just want to welcome each and every one of you this evening. We want to say a big welcome to Joubert and Raquel. Great to see you on here tonight. Diane, thank you for joining us. Virginia Guadalupe, Shandine Henry, Justina, Barbara. Barbara, we hope you're feeling better. Brenton, Ruthie, Alicia, welcome everybody. We hope y'all are doing well, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do in our midst tonight. I'm going to give Pastor Anna an opportunity to say a word of greeting to everyone.
Hello, precious people, and I pray that you're doing well, that your family are doing well. It's so great to be able to be together again. We miss you virtually. So we're looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us tonight.
Pastor Chris, you want to say a word of greeting to everyone?
Amen, amen. Welcome, everybody. So glad you're with us tonight. Really excited to pray, to intercede, to go into God's Word. I feel like there's been such a stirring even after our last service this past Sunday. Praying that that kind of atmosphere continues, that kind of environment continues as we keep on hosting our services. So really fired up to pray tonight. I hope you are as well. It's going to be awesome.
Amen. Yes, we were so excited and blessed to have such a wonderful move of the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. I want to encourage everybody to keep reading the book of Acts and let it just stir a thirst inside of you for more of the Holy Spirit. Once again, we welcome you tonight, and we're so glad that you're joining us for this online service, and we encourage you to share the live stream right now on your social media pages so that your friends and family can join us as well. And that we're going to open with Psalm 103, verse 19. The scripture says, "The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there, he rules over everything." And you know, there's things that happen in our life that may surprise us and shock us, but nothing surprises God because he is sovereign and he rules over all. Even the bad things, the things that we just don't understand and we see and say how terrible this is, how could God allow this to happen? But even in those things, God is at work to the fulfillment of his eternal purpose. And you know, you look at it, how he even used the devil, filling Judas's heart to betray Jesus to fulfill his plan of salvation. And God's sovereignty is a place of rest for believers to know and trust that no matter how bad it seems, God is still in control and God is at work to accomplish his eternal purpose, and nothing can thwart his will. And that is reason to praise the Lord. So let's lift up our hearts and our voices with all that is within us to worship and exalt his name. Would you just pray right where you are? Lift your hands to heaven, lift your voices to heaven, and let's just praise the Lord. Precious Lord, we just come before you tonight and we lift your name on high. You rule in majesty, Lord God. Your throne is above every throne. And we thank you for the confidence of knowing that you are still in control and that you are working in all things, even in the bad things, for the accomplishment of your eternal purposes. We thank you that we can trust you, that you are working in all things in our life for our good, Lord God. We love you, we need you, and we ask you to come and just meet with us here tonight. We invite you to have your way in our lives. Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom be made manifest among us through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, and let your will be done in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Once again, we're so glad to be able to gather together with you in worship and prayer this evening, and we welcome everybody who's joining us. If you are joining us for the first time tonight, would you just type first time in the comments and let us know where you're listening from, just so that we can have that opportunity to greet you and welcome you. And we do also want to take the opportunity right now to let you know some exciting things that are coming up. First of all, we want to let you know that this Sunday, we are resuming in-person children's ministry. And so we encourage you, if you've got kids, register online just like you would for the adult service, but there's a kids service there as well. Register your kids and come on out this Sunday. They're going to have a great time in kids' church, and we're going to have a wonderful time worshiping the Lord together. So be sure to make your reservations before you sign off your computer tonight. We also want to let you know that this Sunday we have water baptism. We're excited to join and celebrate together in this step of faith that these candidates are taking this Sunday. And we encourage you, if you have recently given your heart to Christ or rededicated yourself to the Lord, to follow him in obedience and be water baptized. If you'd like to be water baptized, it's this Sunday. You'll need to meet in my office at 10 a.m. We ask you to please be punctual because we have a limited time before the service. And if you're getting water baptized, please bring a change of clothes and a towel. And we will be baptizing during the Sunday morning service this Sunday. And everyone else, come on out and let's celebrate this wonderful step of faith in the lives of these individuals, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We also want to let you know that next week begins our Ministry Training Institute summer session. And if you haven't already signed up, you can still sign up, but there is a late fee because the deadline was Sunday. So there's a $10 per course late fee. But the classes being offered are A Spirit-Empowered Church and Acts 2 Model. And that's just an exciting course. I've been preparing the materials for that and looking forward to teaching that. And then the second class is Introduction to Pentecostal Doctrine. So if you want to know in a deeper way what we believe as a Pentecostal people, what we believe the scripture teaches, we encourage you to join us for these classes. They're $88 each. They're through Global University of the Assemblies of God, and we're doing them virtually this session. So it's safe for everybody, and you can register online, pay online, and you can even take your final exam online, and we're looking forward to being together with you and just digging into God's word. So some exciting things coming up, and we're encouraging you to join us for as many of these opportunities as possible. And don't forget that we do have in-person services on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Be sure to register to attend. Come on, folks, if you've already gotten your vaccines and you don't have an underlying condition, it's time to get back out of the house and get into the house of the Lord. I said it on Sunday morning, but a pastor posted on Facebook, the more you miss church, the less you'll miss church. So be careful, get back in church. So I want to encourage you to get back in church so that those fires don't die down in your heart. So get back in church as soon as possible. We are looking forward to seeing you and worshiping together with you in person. We do remind you that we are live streaming all of our services Sundays at 11 and at 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We have a time in the word and worship and prayer with our pastoral staff, and then Thursday evenings, Pastor Hannah has a time with some of the worship team members online as well. And of course, we've got girls ministry and Royal Rangers on Zoom. And we are still, even though we're going to in-person children's services on Sunday mornings at 11, we're still offering a Zoom alternative at 10 a.m. So if you're not able to get out, we encourage you to get your kids connected to that. And then Pastor Chris is doing youth and young adults by Zoom right now. And I'm going to give him an opportunity to just speak a word right now and let us know what's going on with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So praise God. We just finished up a sermon series focusing on the resurrection of Jesus and some of his last words on the cross. As tradition, as we're kind of closing out the month, we're going to have a legacy night. So it's a night where we bring the youth and young adults together for celebration and games and encouragement. So we're going to have a Jeopardy night. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be competition. It's going to be just a fun night of games. And I just want to invite any young adult or youth in the area to join in tomorrow night, this Thursday at 7:30, to come in and just have a night to celebrate, to have fun. There's so much going on in our world today. There's so much that's taking place in our world, and just to have a night where we can just disengage, have a sense of community, and just for those two groups to come together. Last month we did one and it was just such a blessing. It was just a fun night of laughter. We were watching a little bit of the Chosen series, so just want to extend the invitation out there. But we're also making a new announcement for a new sermon series are going into the next week. Was inspired by Pastor Marie just to do a series on the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to look at the function and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because when we consider the Holy Spirit, as Pastor Marie has been talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit is a person.
Yeah.
You know, And so often we look at, you know, miracles, healing, signs and wonders, which are all great and needed in the church today. But primary to who the Holy Spirit is, that he's a person. You know, he's someone that we can interact with. He's someone that's our advocate, a healer, a friend. He reveals Jesus. You know, so we're going to be talking about that in our new series coming up next month. So much stuff going on. But once again, our Legacy Night is taking place tomorrow. We're bringing the youth and young adults together, and it's going to be a night of celebration and fun. So really looking forward to it, and you're more than welcome to come out. If you need to reach out to me, you can reach me on Facebook, Instagram, or even here in the church office. But so much going on and a lot of fun.
Amen. Sounds exciting. And so you want to be sure to get connected. Just reach out to Pastor Chris or to the church office, and he'll be sure to give you the access information for those meetings. And so we are excited about what's going on there. In just a few moments, we're going to be going before the Lord in prayer. And we have several special requests tonight. We want to pray for Gloria Walters, who had surgery last week. We want to pray God's healing hand be stretched out towards her, and that God would just speed her complete healing and recovery. We want to pray for Ivan Aburto, who is in the hospital having some pains or was having some pain in his stomach, and still today having that same discomfort. So we want to continue to lift him up in prayer. We want to pray for Sarah Aviles, who is having a growth or a problem in her throat. So we want to lift her before the Lord. I'm not seeing any other prayer requests. Miriam.
No, Miriam too, but also okay. Jasmine.
Jasmine Aborto? Okay. So he's saying Jasmine Aborto is in the hospital because her husband is in the hospital.
No. Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine Garikas. Okay.
Yeah,
got to get it right. Thankfully, God knows who they are. Okay. I was like, Jasmine is in the hospital too. Her husband's in the hospital. Okay. So it's Jasmine Garikas having some gallbladder issues. And we also want to pray for Miriam Sayas, one of our tech team members, who is in the hospital. And she had gallbladder surgery and has had some complications and pain from that. And so we want to pray for her as well. If you have another prayer request, you can feel free to put it in the comments. And we will certainly try to lift that up before the Lord. But please go before the throne of God now on behalf of these needs, lots of needs for healing. And isn't it wonderful to know that he is a healing God and he heals all of our diseases. Amen. Let's just lift these needs before the Lord right now as we pray and intercede. Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight, Lord God, and we are just so grateful for the privilege of coming into your presence, Lord God. Father, we thank you that we can bring all of our needs to you. You have invited us, Lord God, to make our needs known unto you, and you have promised, Lord God, that you will hear and that you will answer us, Lord. Father, as we gather together tonight, we just see the great need for your healing tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that you are still Jehovah Rapha. You are still the Lord, our healer. And Father, we're just lifting before you Gloria Walters right now. Stretch forth your hand and touch her, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just expedite her recovery, and that you would just deliver her from any pain or discomfort, and that you would restore her completely, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift Ivan before you right now, Lord God. We pray that your healing hand would just minister to him right now. Touch him, Lord God, and let your virtue flow through his body, Lord God. Father, whatever is wrong, we pray right now that you would make it right in the name of Jesus. Deliver him from all pain, from all discomfort, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we pray that you would be with his wife, Yasmin, as well, and that you would just give her peace and strength through this time, Lord God. Father, we're lifting up Miriam Sayas before you. We thank you for her and the blessing she has been to our tech team, Lord God. And Father, we just present her on the throne before you, and we pray that you would touch her tonight, Lord God. Father, she's been in a lot of pain, and we pray that you would deliver her from that right now, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that your healing hand would be upon her, Lord God, and that you would just quicken her, and that you would raise her up and restore her to health in the name of Jesus. Father, we stand in the gap for Jasmine Garikas, Lord God, and Father, we pray that you would touch and minister to her, Lord God. Let your healing flow through her body in Jesus' name. Father, we lift Sarah Aviles before you. Lord, you know the need. We pray that you would touch that throat, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just command, Lord God, that growth to depart from her in the name of Jesus. We place her in your hands, Lord God, and we are believing you to do that. We continue to lift Stephanie Pendergast before you, believing you, Lord God, that you would restore complete mobility to her. We continue to lift Warren Graham before you, Lord God, in his recovery from COVID, Lord God, that you would touch his lungs, that you would touch his heart, that you would restore them to complete function, that you would restore strength unto his body, that you would quicken and raise him up by the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God. Father, we just lift before you every other need that is represented among your people, Lord God, as you look down right now and you hear the cries of your people, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just release your mighty power towards them, Lord God, and that you would intervene on their behalf and turn every situation around for your people and for your glory, Lord God. We commit every need into your mighty and able hands tonight, and we ask it all in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you for it, Lord. Amen, amen, and all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to take a moment to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings and to prepare our heart for the worship of giving. I'm reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 37 through 38. The scripture says, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." And in this passage, you know, Jesus really gives us four principles or laws, which are part of what we call the law of reciprocity. And that is laws which are reciprocated. These are actions where there's an exchange of privileges, which are determined by the initiating action. So the first law says, if we do not judge others, then we will not be judged. The second says, if we do not condemn others, then we will not be condemned. The third says, if we forgive others, we'll be forgiven. That's why we really need to forgive others, because we need forgiveness all the time. And the fourth law says, if we give, it shall be given unto us. And the fourth law, I think, is made a little bit clearer in the New American Standard Bible. It says, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by whatever standard of measure, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And so it really, in this law, it gives us two principles. When we give, we shall receive. The Apostle Paul stated it another way in Galatians 6:7. He says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So when you give, it shall be given back to you. But the second principle in this law is that the same measure that we use in giving is the measure that will be used to determine our blessing or our return. Again, Paul said it another way when he said, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he who sows generously shall reap also bountifully. So from Jesus' words, we see that when we give, we will receive again, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And we also see that whatever standard of measurement we use in our giving, God will use the same standard of measure in return in giving back to us. So the laws of God do not fail. And when we give, we shall receive again according to the measure of our giving. Now just imagine by the force of this law, God is allowing us to determine the amount of our return by our giving. And what a privilege and honor it is to give, and what a blessing it is to know that God in turn will bless us. So let's give tonight in faith and expectancy that he will indeed reward us as we give, and you can never outgive God. And of course, we have three ways for you to give. You can give by text giving. You can text any amount to the number on your screen, 954-516-1522. Text any amount. If you want to give $25, it's just 25 and hit send. You're giving to the building fund or missions, it's the amount followed by the word building or the amount followed by the word missions. And if you prefer, you can also give online at our website. Just go to nl-fl.org and click the Give tab. And there you can give either through Purpose Gateway in their online portal. That's the same service provider that we use for text giving. Or you can give through PayPal, whatever's more convenient for you. And a third way of giving, you can mail your offerings into the church, as some are doing. It doesn't matter how you give. What matters is that you honor the Lord with your giving. So as we prepare for the worship of giving, let's thus bless the offering right now. Heavenly Father, we just come to you with love and worship. You are our greatest treasure of all, Lord God. We value you above everything this world has to offer, and our heart delights to give to you, Lord God. Father, we pray that you will just bless our tithes and offerings, and that you will use it to minister to many more lives, Lord God. We pray that you would be well pleased with our giving, and we pray that even as you have promised in your word, that you would bless and prosper your people as they give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank you for your faithfulness and generosity in giving. And, you know, we hope this ministry is a blessing to you, that it has encouraged you, that it has touched your life, that it is helping you, especially through this dark time, to have that strength and that faith and that encouragement to keep on going. And when we give, we are supporting that ministry here locally so that we can continue ministering to you, but also so that we can minister to other lives that are in need. And we're also investing in reaching souls all around the world by supporting more than 50 missionary partners on a monthly basis. And that's all because of your faithfulness and generosity in giving. And we truly appreciate you. We thank you for your faithfulness. I want to remind you that this Sunday we are continuing our series, Outflow, and we've been looking at Jesus' words in John 37 through 39, and we've been each week looking at a different word or different words from that verse. This week we're going to be looking at the word glorify, because it speaks about how when Jesus is glorified, how the Holy Spirit will be poured out. So we want to encourage you to join us this Sunday as we continue this Pentecost series, and then the following Sunday is Mother's Day, and we're going to have a special message and time of celebrating mothers and families. And the message is not just for mothers, but it is for everybody. And so we encourage you to come out and bring your family. And of course, we're having in-person children's services, so bring your kids with you as well. And we're looking forward to celebrating Mother's Day together in the house of the Lord. So be sure to invite your friends and family to join you. Amen. We're going to continue our series on the kingdom of God tonight, titled Thy Kingdom Come. And we're looking at Mark 1:14 and also Luke 17:20 through 21. If you don't have your Bible, go and grab it real quick. Or if you're using the YouVersion app, be sure to open it up right now to those scripture verses. And tonight's message is titled, The Kingdom is Among You. The Kingdom is Among You. You know, I read an article titled, Why Titanic's First Call for Help Wasn't an SOS Signal. And the article described the confusion that took place in the radio room the night that the ship sank. And the ship had been equipped with the latest communication technology in that day, which was a wireless Marconi telegraph. And so many messages had been submitted to the radio room from passengers wanting to telegraph back home about trivial things. One of the messages was about an upcoming poker game that was being arranged when one passenger returned home. So when the operator received a message from a nearby ship, the SS Californian, that it was surrounded by icebergs, the telegraph operator named Phillips told the other ship's operator to shut up, to stop messaging him because he was busy. And so he failed to pass on the warning about icebergs to the captain of the Titanic. And when the Titanic hit the iceberg, Phillips' tone suddenly shifted, and he began to call for help with the Marconi telegraph's distress signal, which was CQD, which meant seek you distress or danger. But in 1908, there was no standardized distress call, even though an international group, including the United Kingdom, had ratified SOS as the universal distress, but Marconi had not adopted that code. So the unfamiliar CQD distress signal cost valuable time. And later, Phillips, the telegraph operator, switched at the suggestion of another radio operator named Harold Bright. But the confusion of the message cost valuable time and likely cost many lives that night as it delayed help from arriving. But there's an even a more important confusion of messaging that carries an even higher cost, the loss of souls for eternity. And if the church is not clear on what it means to be a Christian, then our message to the world will be unclear and confusing, and that will cost many to be lost. In Mark 1:14, it tells us that Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so the gospel is about the kingdom of God. The good news is about the kingdom of God. And for those who were confused about his message, Jesus clarified in Luke 17, verses 20 through 21. It says, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. You know, there's much confusion as to what Christianity really is, and the understanding of true Christianity can only be found by going back to the Bible and studying the message of the New Testament, especially the teachings of Jesus himself. The theme of the kingdom of God, or as Luke calls it, the kingdom of heaven, is given great prominence in all four gospels, even though it's expressed in different ways. But it was the central message of Jesus' preaching. His message is that the kingdom of God is among us, and that we need to make sure that we are in it. And that we need to seek his kingdom and everything else will be added unto us. But to understand his message, we need to have a clear idea of what he means when he speaks about the kingdom of God and how it relates to us. So first, we want to look at the meaning of the kingdom of God. The manner in which the kingdom of God comes has been misunderstood since the start. In Luke 17, the Pharisees are asking, you've been talking a lot about the kingdom of God. How and when is this kingdom going to come? And Jesus immediately corrects them because he discerns that their whole notion of the kingdom of God is wrong. But this was a continual argument of the scribes and Pharisees because they had a wrong notion of the kingdom. They thought it was an earthly political kingdom. On another occasion, the crowds demanded that Jesus show them a sign in order for them to believe. Like manna in the wilderness was proof that their forefather Moses was God's anointed leader. They wanted proof that Jesus was really the Messiah, God's anointed king that would bring in God's kingdom. Then the Roman governor Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews? Your people say that you're a king. Where's your kingdom?" Pilate also had a wrong idea of the kingdom of God. So Jesus responded, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight." But you know, even Jesus' own followers, his own disciples, didn't clearly understand the kingdom. They stumbled over this very thing. In Acts 1:6, after his ascension, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" They were thinking of the kingdom in terms of Israel, in terms of restoring the nation of Israel. They were thinking of it in terms of a political kingdom. After all the miracles they'd seen, after witnessing the resurrected Lord among them, they were still bound to this idea that he was going to overthrow the Roman government and establish the nation of Israel as an earthly kingdom. And they all held in common the same false idea that the kingdom of God comes externally, that it comes as the result of some major action. They believed that when God's anointed king, the Messiah, came, he would be a powerful military and political leader. And they were under the oppression of the Roman Empire, and they were miserable, and they were looking for a Messiah that would lead them into overthrowing Rome and reestablishing the nation of Israel. They were completely off target. They didn't understand what the kingdom of God was about. The meaning of the kingdom of God was misunderstood then, And it's still misunderstood today. Many Christians today believe that the kingdom of God comes by social and political reform. And as Christians, we are called to be the salt of the earth. That means that we're called to use our influence and our voice as a preserving agent against the corruption of sin and the darkness of the world. But there is a segment of Christianity today known as religious progressives who teach and practice something called the social gospel. And they hold that the church is mistaken to believe that we can bring in the kingdom of God by preaching and getting people saved, but instead the kingdom of God must be brought in by social and political reform. And they say the primary mission of the church then must be to work for social justice and equity, doing things like relieving poverty and seeking social equity through protests and changing laws. And as we do that, they say, we will make the world a better and better place, and we will have brought in the kingdom of God. But you know, Jesus didn't teach the kingdom of God in those terms. In fact, Jesus said things like, the poor you will have with you always. And after miraculously feeding the multitudes, they wanted to take him by force and make him king. But he slipped away from them because that was not his mission. He hadn't come to end world poverty or world hunger. He had come to save mankind. His mission was not political reform. And even though he showed great compassion to the poor, to the outcasts, to the marginalized and the sick, and he often met their physical, emotional needs, healing and delivering them, but his priority was always their spiritual condition. It was always preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and calling mankind to repentance. To Jesus, the eternal destiny of people was much more important than their earthly circumstances. You know, he has given us, his church, the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people. That is our mission. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and when he returns, he will judge the evil and wickedness of mankind. He will bring down the corrupt and sinful governments of this world. All of them will be brought down, the Bible tells us, and he will establish his righteous kingdom and restore justice. So change is brought now, not by social and political reformation, but by the individual transformation that is experienced when a person comes to Christ. The more people who come to Christ, the greater impact on our society. Just think about it. You know, we go back to the issue of racism and prejudice and all those things. You know, they may need to change laws, and that's fine. But you can't change laws. Or, excuse me, you can't change hearts by changing laws. So you can put all the laws you want on the books, but that won't change the hearts of men. But when Jesus Christ comes to live in someone's heart, then it begins to change their heart. It begins to change the way they view other people. Like Paul said, you know, he doesn't see any man according to the flesh anymore, you know, and it changes the way you view people. When you come to Christ, it fills your heart with love for other people. That's where true change begins to take place. And so until Christ returns, our mission, our purpose is to preach the gospel, to be an influence of salt and light, and express God's love and justice by showing kindness in practical acts to those less fortunate. Our primary mission is to preach the gospel and introduce people to Jesus Christ. So that's the meaning of the kingdom of God. Then look at the manifestation of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes through the power and presence of Christ. In Luke 11:20, when Jesus delivered a demon-possessed person, he said, "This means the kingdom of God has arrived among you." John the Baptist asked from prison, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we look for someone else?" And Jesus' response was very interesting, because in Matthew 11, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, "Go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." So here's John the Baptist in prison saying, "If I'm going to die for you, I want to make sure you're the Messiah, that you're God's anointed Savior King." And Jesus points to his miracles as definitive proof of the presence of the kingdom through the power of God manifested in healing through his life. So the kingdom of God is a manifestation of the power of God, a manifestation that God's power and authority is above every demon in hell, greater than all sickness and disease, and superior to the elements of nature as seen in the calming of the storm and turning water into wine. And that power was manifest in and through Jesus as proof that he is indeed the Messiah. And that power is promised to be manifest through us to confirm our message, or as proof that our message about Jesus is true. So when the Pharisees ask, when is the kingdom going to come? Jesus responds, the kingdom is not going to come with visible signs, at least not the signs they were looking for, the overthrow of a political rule. But he said, the kingdom is already among you. He's saying, can't you see what is happening right in front of you? Haven't you seen the healings and the miracles? Haven't you felt the mighty power of God present in and through me by the Spirit? His answer is, the kingdom of God has already come in that way. You just can't, or better yet, you just haven't chosen to recognize it, to see it. You have blinded your eyes to the presence and power of God. He tells us the kingdom of God is present in the lives of those who have submitted themselves to Christ. See, the kingdom of God is the realm in which God rules and reigns. And you know what the church is? The church is people demonstrating life in the kingdom, life under the rule of Christ. And we're demonstrating how much better life is under Christ's rule than under the domain of darkness. Because if we're not in Christ, then we're under the dominion of darkness. We're under Satan's rule. And so the church is people demonstrating life under the rule of Christ and showing the world how much better life is when Christ reigns in our heart. That's what the church is. The true church is all who are living life under the rule and reign of Christ. And in that way, the church is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. We're not talking about people who have just have their name on a church membership role. We're not talking about an institution called the church, but we're talking about people. We're talking about men and women who have given their heart to Christ through faith and are living to serve God and glorify his name by surrendering themselves to him every day. When Jesus walked the earth, he healed the sick, he cast out demons, the kingdom of God was present in him, and now the church is the body of Christ. His Spirit dwells in us, so the kingdom of God is manifest in and through us in our lifestyle. The kingdom of God is manifest in us when we live a Christ-like life, when we live a life of righteousness and holiness, and we reflect the character of Christ. But the kingdom of God is also manifest in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us in bringing miraculous healing and deliverance and in preaching the gospel in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. That is how the kingdom of God is made manifest in the world today. And the final and full manifestation of the kingdom of God is yet to come. So it is partially manifest through us, his church, today, but it will be fully manifest in the future at the return of Christ. Then the kingdom of God will come in a visible, external manner, and everyone will see it, and none will be able to ignore or escape it. On that day, Jesus said in Mark 14:62, and you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. See, on that day, he's going to come in a very powerful demonstration of his glory, and every eye will behold him. Again, in Revelation 1:7, it says, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all of the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, Amen. When they talk about the nations of the world mourning for them, there's going to be a real sense of sorrow and grief at having rejected Christ, at having been the instruments or the reasons for Christ's death, of having refused to believe upon him, and that's why the whole world will mourn for him. Jesus is coming again to reign. He's coming again the second time to judge. The first time he came to save, the second time he's coming to judge and to establish his kingdom. And all who rejected him will be consigned to everlasting punishment with the devil and his angels. The Lord will be cleansed, the world will be cleansed of all evil, all the governments of this world, which are under the power of darkness, will be brought down, and Jesus will establish his righteous reign. And that is Jesus's own teaching, and that is the teaching of the entire New Testament, and that is the full manifestation of the kingdom of God. The third thing we want to look at is membership in the kingdom of God. To belong to his kingdom is a matter of greatest importance. So how can we be sure that we belong to his kingdom? First of all, we belong to his kingdom when we recognize who he truly is. He's not just a great man, a teacher, a prophet, or a social reformer. People have viewed and admired him as such throughout time, but this is not how we belong to the kingdom of God. That's why it was so important for Jesus to ask his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Because that is the crucial question that determines whether we enter into his kingdom or not. The kingdom of God is only entered into when we realize that Jesus is God, who came in human flesh to save us from our sins by offering his life as a sacrifice for us. And we confess at that moment when we recognize him as Savior that we are unable to save ourselves, that despite our best efforts, we are sinful and our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. We confess that we are lost and deserving of judgment. And the moment that we confess that in our heart, the kingdom of God has come to us. And that's the first step to entering into his kingdom. Secondly, we belong to his kingdom when we accept his demands. We must accept that all of his teachings, not just some, but all of his teaching, not just the ones that we agree with, not just the ones that line up with what society accepts, but all of his teachings are right and true. This is what the Pharisees and religious leaders could never do. They were constantly arguing with Jesus, trying to trap him with their questions and disputing every point with him because they could not just blanketly accept all of his teaching. And the problem is that Jesus came to explain and fulfill the law. And he went beyond the mere external codes of behavior to the motives of the heart. In Matthew 5, he said, "I warn you that unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the Pharisees," whoa! The Pharisees were the elite religious leaders of that day, highly respected by the Jewish people. And he said, "Unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the Pharisees," or some version says, "unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And he goes on to say in that sermon in Matthew 5, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit murder. But I say to you that if you just hate your brother in your heart, you've already committed murder." He said, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that even if you lust at a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery." And what he's saying is God is not just concerned with outward actions, but he looks at the motives and intents of our heart. And he demands absolute righteousness that comes not through our efforts to keep the law, but through an inner transformation that we experience when we come into complete agreement with what he says and we surrender ourselves to him. Jesus, in effect, says that we're sinners and we cannot save ourselves. And that's the very reason that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We were all lost, unable to save ourselves. And we must surrender ourselves fully and completely to his truth in order to walk in the way of salvation, in order to live as members of his kingdom. We must, being a part of his kingdom is living under his rule. That means surrendering to his teaching, surrendering to his word. We must surrender ourselves fully and comply with his teachings. We must surrender ourselves to his way of salvation, and the way of salvation is Jesus, and it's living a life that is surrendered to his rule in every aspect. It's submitting ourselves in faith completely to him and to his word. That's what it means to be a member of his kingdom. And that is the gospel that we must preach. Not the easy believism, free grace gospel that is being preached today. Cheap grace gospel that says, you know what, you can live any way that you want to and you can still call yourself a Christian. No. A Christian is someone who has believed the gospel of the kingdom and has submitted themselves to the rule and reign of Christ. And that means that we are living each day surrendered to him and surrendered to his word. All of his word, not just the portions of his word that we like or agree with. See, being a member of his kingdom is not about a one-time prayer that we prayed to confess our sins and receive him as Savior. Salvation is not an event, it's a life journey. And surrendering to Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord is something that takes place on a daily basis as we live submitted to him and to the claims of his word. That is the gospel of the kingdom. And when we live that way, then we can be confident that we are members of his kingdom. And this is going to be the basis of our prayer tonight. And I'm going to ask, let's spend a few moments in worship as we prepare our hearts to move into the time of prayer this evening. Just worship you tonight. We lift you up, Lord God. You are holy, holy, holy. You are high and exalted. And we humble ourselves before your throne. We bow our lives at your feet, Lord God. We invite you to rule and to reign in our lives and in our midst right now, Lord God. Just have your way, O Lord. Have your way and be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For our first prayer focus tonight, we want to pray for the church that we will declare the clear message of the gospel of the kingdom. for the world. The clear message, not a convoluted message, a message of cheap grace, a message of easy believism, a message of you can live your life any way you want and still be a follower of Christ. But let's pray that we would preach a clear message of the gospel of the kingdom, the message that Jesus preached. Would you lift your voice together with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. And your word is unfailing and it is unchanging, Lord God. We thank you that you promised that your Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth and that he would be our teacher, helping us to understand all that Jesus has taught. I pray that you would strip away all of the confusing ideas of men regarding Christ's message and that you would give us a clear understanding of the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached, a message of personal salvation and transformation through the repentance of sin and faith in Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. We pray that you will call your church back to the basics, to the truth of your word as the only foundation for our faith, Lord God. Father, Paul warned that if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, prepare for battle. Forgive your church of issuing an uncertain sound to this world. There's so many confusing and false presentations of your gospel today, Lord God. We pray that you would forgive us and that, like Paul, you would help our focus to be on Christ and him crucified, that you would help us to preach the word of God in truth, with clarity and with the authority of thus saith the Lord and without compromise. Let us not be like the watchman on the wall that fails to warn the people of impending danger, allowing them to perish in their sin. But Lord, help us to be like the prophet Jeremiah, where your word was like a fire shut up in his bones and he could not keep himself from preaching, no matter what it cost him, Lord God. Help us to be like the prophet Isaiah, with our lips touched by the fiery coal from the altar of heaven, that we would preach your word in the power and passion of your spirit. And help us to be like Jesus, delivering the truth of God's word clearly and faithfully, so that many can come to salvation through repentance and faith in you. Help us, Lord, because all of our knowledge and our eloquence cannot convince even one heart. We need you. We need the anointing of your Holy Spirit, because we can do nothing without you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the calling and the mission that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's pray now that all who professed Christ will make sure of their membership in his kingdom through submission to him and his word on a daily basis. I'm going to ask Pastor Chris to lead us out in prayer for this focus. Pastor.
It says in John chapter 17, but before I even dive into that, you know, before Jesus would go on to be crucified and take on that cross, he has an incredible moment here where he prays and we really begin to see the desire of his heart. And I just wanted to read some of these words from the Savior before he would take on that cross. And this is a prayer to the Father before he would lay down his life. It says in verse 22, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now going further down in the text, he says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one,
so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me.
This is the desire of Jesus, that we would be one. And in a day and age where it just seems impossible for us to be unified, we divide over the smallest matters. This has been the heart cry of Jesus for so long, that we would be one, that we would be unified. And we unify under His name. We unify under His word. So if there is no submission to Jesus, if there is no submission to the word of God, there is no unity. And I am so thankful that one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is unity. And that's going to be my heart tonight as I pray. Even as Pastor Marie was asking me to pray for that, I just want to just lean into this tonight together as the body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit would do a work in us, that He would reveal Jesus. And as we see Jesus, we would just lean in and just submit ourselves to Him, that we would throw ourselves at His feet, because He is worthy. He is worthy. So Lord, I just release that tonight. God, I thank You so much for each and every single person that is under the sound of my voice. And I have no idea how they are receiving these words. But Lord, I just ask that they would see that in the text, that they would see that in the scriptures, that You have such a desire that we would be one, that we would be unified. And I pray, Spirit of Jesus, that You would unify Your body here in Pembroke Pines, but also throughout the nations, Lord. Lord, we are the most divided religious group in the world. And God, what I ask is that You would unify Your church, because You are coming back for Your bride. You will return, and You were laid down. You came as the lamb to be slain, but You will come back as the triumphant lion of Judah, coming to rule and reign over the land. So Lord, we lay ourselves before You, our triumphant King, our victor who has conquered death. We have not forgotten about that. Even though a month has passed since Easter, You are still today our victorious King. And we ask, Lord, that You would do a work in the nations, God, that would unify Your body as one. For You are coming for Your bride. So Lord, we lean into what Your word says. We take it to heart. Even the things that challenge us, even the things that may discourage us, we just say yes to You, because You are trustworthy. Even when we don't understand, we lean in. Lord, we give You our naked trust tonight. And God, I pray that for the one who is even listening in right now, who is having trouble because of the lifestyle that they live, or because of the way they've been leading their life, or because of certain convictions, traditions, or culture that they're under, Lord, I pray that You would give them a grace to receive this tonight. And as they have received the word from Pastor Maria, as they are receiving this prayer even now, God, I pray that You would lead them into Your righteousness. I thank You that You are drawing many right now, even through this live stream. And I'm asking, God, that You would reveal Jesus to them. God, I pray for a fresh revelation, just a fall of the Son of God. I thank You that those whom You are calling, those whom You are drawing, those whom are in Your hands, You will not lose. You are faithful, You are trustworthy. And I thank You, God, that today is a new day for many, even under the sound of my voice right now. And even for some fresh commitment to treasure You, Jesus, and also to treasure Your word. We love You and we lean in tonight to who You are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let's pray now. Thy kingdom come through the manifestation of the power and presence of Christ in our midst today. Because the kingdom really is about Christ. You can't have a kingdom without a king. And Christ is the King, and we want Him to be manifest. Pastor Anna, would you lead us out in prayer for this tonight?
Yes. That cry for Your kingdom to come really is a cry for Jesus' presence.
Yes.
Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So the kingdom of God is manifest on earth when Jesus' presence is manifest.
Yes.
when he moves and intervenes in the realities of our lives, and he changed them by the realities of his kingdom. And I want us to cry for the manifestation of the presence of Jesus Christ, not only in church, not only in church services, but in our homes,
yes,
in our places of employment, wherever we go, because we really are carriers of the presence of God, yes, through the person of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So that then, that cry, Lord, let your kingdom come, will be answered. And Jesus, we cry to you tonight. Let your kingdom come to earth. We're living in a broken world, a world that is sick, that is in darkness, that is bound, a world where there is division, there is prejudice, there is strife. And Lord, we believe with all of our hearts that the only answer to the world is Jesus. Yes. That the only answer to the world is the manifestation of the kingdom of God in heaven. Lord, look at our realities. Look at the condition of the world. Look at the condition of the church throughout the world. Look at the condition of this young generation, oh Lord, that is dying, that is lost. Yeah. Yes. Without knowing the love and the compassion, yes, of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we cry out from our hearts. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come and change our realities. Let the eternal life of your kingdom come. Let the healing of your kingdom come. Yes, let, yes, the peace and the unity of your kingdom come. Let the justice of your kingdom come. Let the power and the spiritual authority of your kingdom come, oh Lord. We cry for your presence, yes, oh Lord. We cry that you would move across the world, oh Lord, in an outpouring of your spirit that would reveal Jesus Christ through the world. That we reveal the glory of God to the world, oh Lord. Deliver us, oh Lord, from dead religion. Deliver us from rituals and ceremonies and rigidity that do not give you freedom to do what you desire to do. The desire and the passion of your heart is for people to experience the eternal life of your kingdom. To experience the victory and the healing that can only be found in your kingdom. You are the King, yes, of kings and Lord of lords.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And we cry out to you for intimacy. Let us have such a hunger and such a thirst to be in your presence, to know you more, yes, to see your glory in our lives, oh Lord, that we will not settle for religion, that we will not settle what talent and ability and human charisma can do, that we will not settle for human knowledge and fancy words and fancy and eloquent preaching. But Lord, that we would have desire an encounter with you. That would be the passion and the quest of our hearts, to have an encounter with Jesus.
Yes.
So that then your kingdom can come and change us, and change the pain and the suffering of this life, and change the realities of our lives with the realities of your kingdom, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want to pray for the kingdom of God to be manifest through the church in power and signs and wonders to confirm the message of Christ, in healing, deliverance, in righteousness, peace, and joy, in anointed preaching and teaching of the word that transforms lives. Let's pray for the demonstration of the kingdom in all of these ways that the Bible says through the church today. Would you lift your voice with me? Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, you are our great and glorious Lord, and we praise and magnify your name because you are mighty and powerful, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have not changed. You are the same God who worked here on earth through Jesus, in signs and wonders, in the demonstration of your kingdom. We praise you, Jesus, because you are alive and you are active in the midst of your church today. We praise you for the promise of your word that in the last days you will pour out of your spirit upon all flesh, and that you would raise us up to be a prophetic people with anointed words and anointed deeds that would point to Jesus. We thank you for that prophetic anointing that is being poured out even now to empower your people to proclaim your message with the power and the authority of your Holy Spirit, and to see the confirming signs of miracles and wonders to demonstrate your kingdom. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us afresh and anew, Lord God. We need you, Lord. We pray that you would empower us to carry on the ministry of Christ in the world today, because that is what you have called us to do, Lord God. That is our purpose, Lord God. That we would carry on the ministry of Jesus, not in the eloquence and wisdom of men, but in the power and the demonstration of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We pray also for the sanctifying work of your Spirit, Lord God, that the sanctifying work of your Holy Spirit would be manifest in our lives through righteousness, through holiness, Lord God, that you would make us more like Jesus, so our lives will be a living witness, so that men will see our lives and it would point them to Jesus. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be manifest in our lives in overflowing joy and abounding love, Lord God, so that our lives would be the fragrance of Christ, a sweet-smelling aroma that would draw men unto you, Lord God. Father, we are praying that you would do this work in and through us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Next, we want to pray for the church to clearly demonstrate to the world life under the rule of Christ and how much more desirable it is than life under the dominion of Satan. And I'm going to ask Pastor Chris to lead us out in this prayer focus. Hallelujah.
I once heard a quote that said, "There is no greater neglect to the king in his kingdom than a neglect of him." So there's no greater neglect within the kingdom than a neglect of the king.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that, you know, many would say that that the kingdom of God is too restricted, it's too difficult, it's too hard. And I love how I once heard it before, is that yes, the kingdom of God has boundaries, but there is more freedom within than there is outside.
Yeah.
Because of the presence of the king, and his name is Jesus. And I love that one psalm that talks about that in his presence there is fullness of joy, and his right hand pleasures forevermore. So often we talk about the cost of following Jesus, but it all pales in comparison when you come to discover the one that you're following, the one in whom we pursue, the one who is our reward. Before I pray, just reminded of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. And out of great joy, or rather, the kingdom of God is like a pearl of a great price. Both of them work the same, but the pearl of great price, that in the joy of finding it, someone sells all that they have, that they may take possession of that pearl. And it's just so wonderful when I think about the great reward that is found in Jesus. He is that great reward. Even when I remember of the word given to Abraham, when God reveals himself to this man, he says, "I am your great and exceedingly abundant reward." It's just amazing. We have God. So tonight, I just really feel this in me that we would follow him, that we would go after him, but that he would blind us to this thing that says, "Oh man, I'm missing out on all these other things." But that we would have just a clear view that we're following Jesus, the treasure of heaven.
Yes.
So Father, I just pray, God, that you would blind us to everything else and that you would give us eyes to behold Jesus. God, I thank you for who you are and the great treasure that you are, Lord. You are our faithful bridegroom. You are our wonderful counselor. You are the Prince of Peace, God. You are everything. And I thank you that if anything is added to you, it's actually a subtraction because you're already everything. So, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would increase our faith. I pray, God, that you would increase our affection to you. And I pray that when we get alone with you, God, there would just be a bliss and a blossom that would brew in our hearts towards you. And I pray, God, there would be genuine encounter in that place because you love us. The main reason why we even feel compelled to go after you is because you're calling us. It's because you're drawing us near. God, no one wants to see things right more than you do. Nobody, God, we do not desire to be with you more than you do with us, God. So I just pray, God, that we would know that you are the one that sets the table. God, that we would know in our hearts that you are the one that comes after us. You're the one that came after us. So God, increase our affections towards you. We love you, Jesus, and I pray that you would inspire many tonight through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would live a life that says, I love you back. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you, glorious King, our victor forever.
Yes.
In Jesus' name,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
For our final prayer focus, let's pray that we will do everything possible to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to hear the gospel so that they can escape the judgment to come at the return of Christ. And I'm going to ask Pastor Anna to lead us out.
Book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4, tell us that we may continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, and pray for us also, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear as I ought to speak. So Lord, tonight we thank you for this great salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, for we have come of your great love. For you have filled us with the precious person of your Holy Spirit, and you have enlightened the truth of your gospel to us. Thank you for all the gifts and the blessing and the good things that you give us as our Heavenly Father. But Lord, we don't want to keep and retain for ourselves what by grace you have given us. But Lord, tonight I pray that our hearts will burn with the words of the Great Commission. That our hearts will burn with the words and the assignment that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples.
Yes,
to go out of the boundaries and the walls of a building and to make disciples of all nations. Let those words, oh Lord, burn within us, oh God. Let those words, oh God, consume us and instill in us a burden, oh Lord, to give to others what by grace you have given unto us, oh Lord. We pray, oh Lord, like Paul prayed. And we ask that you would open doors, oh Lord, in all areas of our lives, oh Lord, that we are able to reach others with this great salvation. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would open the doors, oh Lord, for the conversations that we will have with others, with co-workers, with friends, with family members, oh Lord, with people that we come across every single day of our lives, oh Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would open doors in our places of employment, oh Lord. That you would open doors in our schools, in our universities, oh Lord, in our businesses, oh Lord. We pray, oh Lord, that you would open doors in our leisure activities, oh Lord. That you would open doors in our relationships, oh Lord. Make us aware.
Yes, Jesus.
Allow us to discern the opportunities that you present us every day to be witnesses and to tell others of the goodness, the love, and the greatness and the beauty of Jesus Christ, oh Lord. Lord, we pray tonight, give us boldness in a wicked world, oh Lord, in a world, oh Lord, that is full with voices and ideas and philosophies and systems and movements that contradict the truth of word of God. Let us not be intimidated. Let us not be afraid. Let us not be shy. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke tonight intimidation, fear, and insecurity.
Yes, Lord God.
And give us a boldness that does not come from within us, but that comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
A boldness to walk through the doors and the opportunities that you present to us as a church and individually, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with power, with authority, with conviction, with miracles, signs and wonders that will confirm this world and that will exalt Jesus Christ wherever we go and in every area of society, oh Lord. Open the doors for us. Let this gospel be expanded. Expand, oh Lord, the territories of this ministry, oh Lord. Allow us to reach new people from all nationalities, from all genders, from all skin color, from all languages, oh Lord, with the good news of the gospel of Christ, oh Lord. Let the words of that great commission burn within us from this day on to go and make disciples of all nations.
Yes, Lord God.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's close out our time of prayer now as Joyce leads us in worship.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to leave you tonight with the words of Luke 17:21. Jesus' words, the kingdom of God is already among you, or as some versions say, within you. So wherever you go this week, whatever you face, remember the kingdom of God is within you, because the King is living inside of you and his Holy Spirit is filling and empowering you. And I want to encourage you to pray each day this week for his kingdom to be made manifest through you, through others. A great big thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. We're really glad that you spent this evening with us to worship and honor the Lord. And we say thank you, and we pray that you have a blessed evening. And we want to say thanks to Joyce for leading us so beautifully in worship. Thanks to our pastoral staff for joining us in prayer tonight, and to our great tech team for all their dedicated labors in helping us spread the gospel and come to you tonight and every time we live stream. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.